Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 27. We're going to finish the book. Hallelujah. Leviticus 27. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when a man makes a difficult vow, he shall be valued according to your valuation of persons belonging to the Lord. If your valuation is of the male from 20 years even to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. Or if it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if it be from 5 years even to 20 years old, then your valuation for the male shall be 20 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if they are from a month even up to 5 years old, then your valuation shall be 5 shekels of silver for the male, and for the female your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if they are from 60 years old and upward, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels, and for the female 10 shekels. But if he is poor, then your valuation, then he shall be placed before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to the means of the one who vowed. The priest shall value him. Now, if it is an animal of the kind which men can present as an offering to the Lord, any such that one gives to the Lord shall be holy. He shall not replace it or exchange it, a good or bad for a good. Or if he does exchange animal for animal, then both it and its substitute shall become holy. If, however, it is any unclean animal of the kind which men do not present as an offering to the Lord, then he shall place the animal before the priest, and the priest shall value it as either good or bad. As you, the priest, value it, so shall be. But if he should ever wish to redeem it, then he shall add one-fifth of it to your valuation. Now if a man consecrates his house as holy to the Lord, then the priest shall value it as either good or bad. As the priest values it, so he shall stand. Yet if the one who consecrates it should wish to redeem his house, then he shall add one-fifth of your valuation price to it, so that it may be his. Again, if a man consecrates to the Lord part of the fields of his own property, then your valuation shall be proportionate to the seed needed for it, a homer of barley seed at 50 shekels of silver. If he consecrates his field as of the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation, it shall stand. If he consecrates his field after the Jubilee, however, then the priest shall calculate the price for him proportionate to the years that are left until the year of Jubilee, and it shall be deducted from your valuation. And if the one who consecrates it should ever wish to redeem the field, then he should add one-fifth of your valuation price to it, so that it may pass to him. Yet if he will not redeem the field, but has sold the field to another man, it may no longer be redeemed. And when it reverts in the Jubilee, the field shall be holy to the Lord, like a field set apart. It shall be for the priest as his property. Or if he consecrates to the Lord a field which he has bought, which is not a part of the field of his own property, then the priest shall calculate for him the amount of your valuation up to the year of Jubilee, and he shall on that day give your valuation as holy to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to the one whom he bought it, to whom the possession of the land belongs. Every valuation of yours, moreover, shall be after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs. However, a firstborn among animals, which as a firstborn belongs to the Lord, no man may consecrate it, whether ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. But if it is among the unclean animals, then he shall redeem it according to your valuation, add to it one-fifth of it, and if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Nevertheless, anything which a man sets apart to the Lord out of all that he has of man or animal or the fields of his own property shall not be sold or redeemed. Anything devoted to destruction is most holy to the Lord. No one who may have been set apart among men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. Thus, all the tithe of the land, or the seed of the land, or the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it one-fifth of it. And for every tenth part of herd or flock, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He is not to be concerned whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it, or if he does exchange it, then both it and its substitute shall become holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the sons of Israel at Mount Sinai. Okay, so this is the last chapter in the book of Leviticus. And so this concerns the gift of vows. And so if something really good happened to somebody, typically an Israelite would make a vow to the Lord. Or if they averted some kind of calamity, they also made a vow unto God. And so Now, these are the rules concerning how these vows work. Later, Jesus will talk about this and dealing with the issue of korban, if you remember the passage, and which is really becoming a very legalistic form of that practice that will begin to become more and more legalistic as it goes on. And so if someone makes a vow before a votive offering, what they consider, and depending on how old they are or if they're male or female, they were given a certain valuation. Now, you got to make sure that you don't make a judgment call on this, okay? This does not mean that women are inferior to men. You have to remember that we're talking about an agricultural society. Now, in our day and age, we know that women actually work much better than men do. They don't get paid as much, at least in some countries that's changing. But in terms of the output of work, in some industries, they seem to work much better than even men do. And so we're talking about an agricultural society that values the output in terms of just brute work. And with that in mind, obviously, men of a certain age will create more output, per se, and as a result, they're valued differently. Do you guys understand that? And so people throughout history have made a judgment call, you know, based on passages like this and say, oh, see, you know, men are worth more than women, or, you know, young men are worth more than old men, and so on and so forth. This is purely talking about output of labor. And so in an agricultural society, right, so this doesn't, in other words, you cannot use a hermeneutic that brings this reality in our present age, which is very faulty, by saying men are greater than women or whatnot. You guys understand my point, right? And so you have to make very clear of how you're going to read the text and what was intended in the for the original audience. And so he has all these laws concerning the value of an offering or a gift that's given. The next is dealing with animals that we vow. This is given to the Lord. And at some point, they're going to be used as a sacrifice. Now, if they're unworthy, if they're found to be a blemish, then they're not going to be used as a sacrifice. And now they're going to basically have a dollar figure attached to it, which the person will have to pay as part of the vow. Then you have this issue of you want to redeem it. In other words, you made a vow, but let's say I have a piece of land, and I vow the land to the Lord. In other words, I consider this korban. And so I vow this to the Lord. At a certain time, it'll be given to the Lord, but not necessarily at that moment right there. And so what happens is that if, let's say, I need the land back, or I want it because it's now given to the Lord. In other words, it's used for the priests, and I want it back, then I can actually, the word is I can redeem it, I can have it back, but I also need to add a fifth of the price to it. And that goes to animals, it goes to everything. And then at the end of this thing, that a tenth, this is really the importance of the tithe, the tenth, everyone is made holy to the Lord. In other words, out of all of your flock, out of all of your grain, out of everything of your possessions, the tithe, the tenth, belongs to God. And he says, and he considers it holy. And so what they did is they took a rod, and they would put some ink or some kind of marking at the rod, and as it would go through the gate, they would just mark every tenth. And he says it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. In other words, if there are no blemishes, it doesn't matter. Just when it goes through a tenth and you mark this the animal or even the grain or whatnot, and you mark it and just count every tenth, and he says, and the tenth belongs to the Lord. And the word he uses, it is holy. Now when you think in that context, and we talk about the tithe, right? Every tenth, and really the tithe is talking about the first tenth, it belongs to the Lord, and he says it is considered holy. Can you imagine what that's like now when we look in our context? Is that we don't tithe, that tenth that is meant to be holy is, in other words, dedicated to God, and now it's used to pay your rent, you know, or to go buy dinner or something like that, now it becomes very unholy. You guys understand that? And he says that this is holy to God. This is what you lay out your tenth for. Okay. All right, I got like 10 minutes. Let me wrap this all up, okay? So, the book of Leviticus, all right? I would say in all of my years of teaching EMP, this is the most difficult book I've ever done before. And because of the tediousness and the repetition of the commands. But let me wrap this in context, okay? One is that, remember, we're talking about the infancy of a nation. Now, they go from slavery to freedom, and they don't know how to be free. They don't understand this, and all they know is how to be slaves. And so in some ways, God speaks into that context, but the bigger picture of all this is that in its infancy, you have to be more deliberate. You have to be more intentional. You have to be more precise in the way that you go about raising a nation. And even you could think about raising a child. Do you remember? I mean, only a few guys are parents here. But when you think about your kids, when they're babies, man, you're very particular, right? You're very intentional and you're very focused and do this, no, this, yes. And you're looking at all your food and looking at all these things. Think in the same context. It takes a lot of preparation, a lot of intentionality to raise a child. Child's 8, 9, 10, 15. If you have to tell your child this and this and this and this, then you've basically failed as a parent. We understand this, right? When they get to a certain age. But in its infancy, they need as much guideline, they need a more direction than you can imagine. Because this is, they're learning how to be a child, how to be a human. In this regard, the Israelites are learning how to be a nation, and how to be a nation under God, a possession of the Lord Himself. So it's very meticulous. It's very exact, and it's basically providing the guidelines by which you go forward. Now, with the overall writing of the book, it deals with three main issues, and outside of these issues, I guarantee you will not appreciate the cross as much outside of the book of Leviticus. Number one is the issue of holiness. And so God is holy, and we're also called to be holy, set apart, the word is. And so Leviticus deals with the whole issue of holiness more than any other book. The second aspect here is the aspect of sacrifice. Sacrifice, purely by definition, simply means a gift. And so when you sacrifice, you're basically giving a gift to the Lord. But Leviticus introduces the blood sacrifice. In other words, the gift that God really wants more than anything else is life. And so when we sacrifice ourselves on the altar, or we give our gifts to the Lord, what really is about giving of life. Remember, life is in the blood. I think it's Leviticus 17. And so it's this idea that because God is holy, what God wants is us to be holy. God wants us to sacrifice. He wants our lives. And that's what really this is all about. And then the last big issue or big, not issue, but theme in here is the theme of atonement. And outside of Leviticus, we will never really understand, especially the atonement of the scapegoat, of having a goat, and all the sins and all the wrong and all the things are laid upon the goat and then sent off basically to Satan. And this is, you know, into the wilderness. And that's precisely what Christ does for us. And He literally becomes sin. And all the sins of the world are pressed upon Him. And then He's given to Satan. And this is, you know, part of our Apostles' Creed, that He descended into hell. And the third day He raised, you know, He was raised from the dead. And it's amazing how, and if we didn't have the book of Leviticus, we really wouldn't understand that at all. And there really is so many things that we talk about. You know, the agreement, right? This is, I just did a wedding last week, so last Saturday. Agreement. Do you know why the bride walks down the aisle in the middle between two? It's a nod back to Leviticus. You know, the agreement was that, remember, God would cut the animal, place it on two sides, and God himself would walk in the middle of it. And what he was making an agreement, he was making a covenant with his people. You know, basically saying that if I break my oath with you, then let me be as this animal that's cut in half. And so that's what the wedding is. The wedding is the great covenant of humankind that we get to make with one another. And when we walk down the aisle, basically it's saying that I am so committed to you that if I break this commitment, just cut me in half. Just kill me and let my body be, you know, set apart from one another. It's unfortunate that we look at divorce and it was with such flippancy, right? But can you imagine if we went back to Old Testament? You know, maybe we should do that at SP. You know, we'll have some kind of idea. I'm actually quite serious. You know, my thing is zero divorces in SP. We've already failed, but in any case, you know, we can continue on. But can you imagine just coming down the aisle, and when you're coming down, it's, you know, people are like, oh, beautiful, you know, father and bride, you know, but it would be the idea, you know, and maybe we should put it a part of our oath are to one another. If I divorce you or if I am unfaithful to you, then you can slice me in half. And, you know, it won't work. I just realized it'd be not a very good wedding thing. But we'll do it in premarital counseling. We'll talk in depth about that. I'm going to add it to the book now. But you see, you know, even things like that, if we don't have the book of Leviticus, we will never have understood the intricacies of sacrifice and atonement, and the holiness of God. My sum up, my conclusion is we just finished Leviticus. This is actually the first time I've ever taught on this, the whole book like this, is that, one, man, it is tough to be holy. That was my first takeaway. It is tough to be holy. I mean, the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, it is tough to enter into that space. My second takeaway is, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't have to do any of this stuff in the book of Leviticus because he came and died for us on the cross. And really, this book, more than anything else, is especially, you know, go back and read Leviticus 16. And when it deals with atonement, it really gives us a really strong theology to understand Christ and the cross and the price that he paid and the spiritual significance of that sacrifice for us. He was the scapegoat for us, a blameless, pure Christ paid the price for a sinful, despicable world. And so with that, let's close our eyes as we wrap up Leviticus. And I think as we wrap this up, man, the only thing that comes to mind is just thanksgiving. Him who knew no sin, not just, this is the text, not just carried our sin, but literally became sin. When did that happen? On the cross, when darkness covered the earth. And he was our scapegoat. All the sins were placed upon him, and he was banished, sent to Satan himself, but he overpowered. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning of just being grateful. Maybe God spoke to you as a husband or a wife to really cherish the covenant that you have. Really cherish the marriage vows that you've made. And as we worship the Lord, let's go before him. Let's pray this morning. Let's thank the Lord for being that sacrifice for us, that scapegoat that took all of our sins, paid the price for us, so that we wouldn't have to. We encourage you to just go before the Lord in thanksgiving and just give Him our heart this morning. Let's go to our community focus and let's pray for our church members, family members, that they would be healed, especially during this holiday season, that they would just really feel the love of God and just this healing word would come upon them. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community that's sick but also needs to find Jesus. And let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them in healing and in salvation. Let's pray for our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong this morning. Let's pray for the government that they would rule righteously. Let's pray for just the wealth gap and pray for revival. Just pray for all the churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering here. Let's pray for Sports Services International, Shanty, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, the Korean Church. Let's pray for all our organizations that they would just continue to grow in the Lord and really make an impact in this city. And let's just give our city to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to continue to bless and really use our staff to further His kingdom here through SP. Pray for our unity, not just God's hand. A few of them are on holiday right now, and Nate, Monica, and Yiling. And so let's pray as they're on with their family members that they would just really be able to spend good time with their families and just really love them through this season. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and media teams. Let's pray for a real heart of worship and serving. You know, continue to pray for all of our equipment. There seem to be glitches here and there, and just ask God's hand to be upon all of our stuff here as well, and let our people really serve with so much joy. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous, pray for real creativity, pray for the spread. Edition should be coming out fairly soon. Pray that they'll be united in their vision and really present something from the Lord out of their gifts and their talents. And lastly, it's not on the list, but if we could pray for the Kwok family. You may have seen the news, but the sentencing is probably today. And so I told them that we pray for them as a church. And so they said that if the dad gets 5 years, they would consider that to be a victory. But I'm really praying that he would get 2 or even less. And so let's just pray. Pray that the judge would have mercy. It's really all dependent on him. And it's going to be sometime today, so lift up just the whole family, Thomas Kwok, lift up Adam and Kim, who come here to SP, and you know, their family is going through a lot of stuff right now. Let's just ask God's mercy to be extended. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. We thank you for the cross, God. And we feel like we have a better understanding of what you did for us, God, because of Leviticus, Lord. You are holy, Lord. You call us to be holy like you are holy. So teach us, God. Guide us, Lord. Even in this age of grace, God, let us run hard after you, Lord. Lord, from the position of sonship, God, not from slavery. So we thank you. Watch over us, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and keep warm, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.